Hello, everyone, and welcome to the PB&J podcast. I am the J, Jesse Hutmaker, joined as always by the PB, Pat Butler. How you doing, Pat?
I'm doing great, man. Doing really good, actually.
Good, good, good. This little sabbatical, lots of has went on since our last podcast. We're burning up. We're flooding. The world, it's crazy. It's crazy out there.
It is spinning quickly, my friend, and a lot of chaos, a lot going on, but it feels good to be back here and talking about some of the things that interest you and I. I mean, throughout this chaos, if there's one thing that kind of keeps me going, it's the conversations like you and I have and all of our friends have amongst each other, and we need some of that. So it's a welcome feeling to come back to the podcast and get going, and I'm anxious to get some rhythm behind the podcast.
Yeah, it's for those who don't know, I was back in Omaha a few weeks back, and I think Pat and I experienced something that not even the host of the podcast had dealt with before, so we were unable to record then. It was a shame because the ones we've done in person are so much more energy, I feel, but maybe that's just me. Maybe, what do we want to talk about today?
You know, it's funny, man. I was going through my iPod, as I always do, right? And since I'm traveling a lot, and it struck me, I started listening to some music from a couple different bands, and one of the things that I was thinking about, honestly, was why do I keep coming back to certain albums or periods of a band's career, and I'm stuck on that, versus maybe diving into something they've released recently, and I find myself doing that often. I think a lot of people do. And you see a lot of stations, radio stations now devoted to certain genres or eras of music. And it got me thinking about bands and their peak performance, their prime. Are some of them past their prime? Why do we choose to go back to certain points and not really embrace some of the new stuff, if you will? And I don't know, man. So I know you got some thoughts on this. Does that make sense? I mean, I find myself doing it often.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think that we've seen with even our favorite bands, they have a shelf life, if you will. And you know, a lot of times I think that maybe you can only capture that lightning in a bottle, you know, for so long. And also I think that, you know, as we get older, as the musicians get older, your taste can kind of vary. Or, you know, if you want to kind of be relatable, I guess you tend to kind of keep up with what's going on musically in the world, in society. And so there, you know, maybe, let's say just for shits and giggles, you were an ABBA fan growing up and, you swore by ABBA and you owned all, you know, the ABBA albums and singles and their wardrobes, and you saw the Mamma Mia and everything. And then all of a sudden, somebody like, we'll throw this one out there for Tony Bazis, Pink. All of a sudden you start listening to Pink because, you know, your neighbor listens to it all the time, and then you go back and listen to ABBA and it might sound dated to you or whatever. I know that's a horrible analogy, but I think some of the bands move with the times, and some of them stick with what had worked for them in the past. And I think that can work both ways, but yeah, I do think that they have a shelf life.
It's funny because someone, you know, kind of asked this question, and it related to some of the things that I do in my work. And they basically said they were starting out in their career, and they said, "Hey, you've had some experience in this industry. You've been doing this a while. And I said, well, I prefer to think of it as experience rather than old. But anyway, they said, shouldn't you, you know, they said, look, you've gotten really good at your craft. And I said, well, you have to understand, I've been doing it quite a while, and I stay in it, and I stay on it, and I try to educate myself and push myself so that I've gotten better at my craft. And they said, well, in theory, the more you do it, the better you should get. And so I started thinking about that in relation to bands, right? So if a band's been around for a while, they've gained more experience, they're better musicians, potentially better singers, they're better at making albums or touring and putting on a live show. Shouldn't they get better, in theory, with more experience? Or, to your point, is the lightning in the bottle something that we're really drawn to more so than that experience? Because I know a lot of bands who are very good, but they don't have that energy or spark that I originally drew them to, you know, I was drawn to.
Sure. And, you know, I mean, that happens. And I think it does. I think even with TV shows, like if we want to bring it to a different medium, they have a shelf life. And, you know, as much as in theory we'd love ongoing series seasons of Breaking Bad or The Wire, you know, they reach that point where it just kind of has to come to an end. You got to, you know, the freshness, the energy, you know, and also a lot of times you can see it in the musicians that they don't look like they're into it the way that they were, you know?
Right.
And I will say, you know, I know I bash U2 a lot, but seeing that Joshua Tree tour, the reunion, and seeing them kind of revitalized, reinvigorated, kind of made me think about band's shelf life. And, you know, I don't necessarily care for the direction they're going now, but I still think a little bit of their music is still relevant. I won't buy the album, but it's still relevant, you know?
Right. I'll burn it for you.
Apple will sneak it into something on me.
And I agree with you. I felt that show had an energy to it. And part of it, yeah, I think a lot of people went into that because the Joshua Tree album was so... it resonated so strongly with people at the time, and they grew up with it. So I felt that that show had a tremendous amount of energy, and that was wonderful to see. And is, you know, are they making records now that a lot of people are going to get into? Not necessarily, but I agree. I think that show had energy. I mean, here's the deal. Like, as an example, I'm going to see Pixies on Sunday, and have I listened to their latest record? Yes. Do I go back to it? I'll be honest. No. Do I go back to the original albums? Absolutely. And even in their live show on their reunion tour, with Kim Deal still with the band, I thought that was a great show. But even then, I probably could have walked away and said, I'm good. I am excited to see them, but I'm also kind of curious too to see that energy and see if it's there. Because I'll be the first to admit, Jesse, I'm not going back to their latest record. I really am not. I'm going back to the original albums, and I find myself doing that a lot.
You know, and I think that's the thing I really struggle with, because it's. I feel, and you know, I know I'm a hypocrite on this one too, but it's like I just want a band to move on or move out, you know. And I know there's varying things and everything. And I saw the was it the Doolittle reunion tour? I happened to get a free ticket to it, and it was great to hear those songs again. But you know, I don't know. I just struggle with it, and you know, I look at bands like Coldplay, and I just really wish Chris Martin would go on some solo venture and call it a day. It's to me, it's not even a shadow of what they were. It has become downright boring. And I struggle through it, and I want it to be good. I want to like it. I want to enjoy them again. But for some, I don't know, maybe I'm missing something.
No, I don't think you are. I will say this, and as a disclaimer to our listeners, we are both, Jesse and I are both unapologetic in the fact that we are loyal to REM and avid fans. And I'm going to be honest with you. Since the breakup, I have avoided going back to their final album. I don't know. I love that record, but I just kept myself away. And last week, I was on a flight, and I decided to put it on. And I said, I'm going to listen to this thing straight through. I'm going back. And I went through that record again, and I was so pleasantly surprised, because I still say that is a very strong record, in my opinion. It holds up very well. I mean, they were making music at the end that was, to me, quite relevant, and some of their stronger material versus some of the albums just prior to that. And so I give them credit for going out on a high note, unfortunately, but producing a great record.
Right. But let's get it straight. They didn't break up. They called it a day.
True.
If we want to talk about REM, I look at their career in a couple of different paths. I look at the Bill Berry era, and then the after Bill Berry era. And then I look at, the final output. And there's a few albums that had some great, great tracks on it, and some, skip. But yeah, like you, I mean, I every now and then I go through the whole catalog front to back or back to front. And it's, for me, interesting going from the end back to the beginning to see how they really changed as a band. But yeah, that I always think in the back of my head, they knew that was it, and they wanted to give one last album that the people that had given up on them could come back to and remember them as going out with something respectable.
Right. I agree.
Now, like bands like Depeche Mode, their latest, I tried and I just couldn't find anything in it that got me in any sort of way besides like, yeah, you know what, if I'm in a coffee shop and this is playing, I'm not going to be like, what the hell? Why is this playing? But I'll be like, nah, whatever. And I don't know if I'm making much sense, but it's just, I would have been fine if they would have called it, after, all the struggles that, the singer had, back in the early 2000s?
Right.
Yeah. But then there are bands that I think that, I think that his latest couple songs that I've heard are outstanding. And I'm excited by that. But then at the same time, I remember that, Naked Self really didn't do much for me. I thought it was an okay album. It just didn't do much, but who knows? I mean, there's a reason why they keep putting them out, and I guess it's because they need more than money for drugs. I don't know.
Right. The other area that I think is hard for me is when I see bands that that lightning in the bottle for them was due to the fact that at the age they were when they made records and the subject matter in their songs related to people going through different, you know, early stages of their life, whether it be teenage years, early 20s, especially the teenage years where you have some form of rebellion or kind of breaking out, finding yourself. And now it's hard for me to see or take some of those bands seriously when they have that quote unquote anger, that fire, you know, behind the songs. I'm like, that was great when I was a teenager or a teenager was listening to your music when you were a late teen or early 20 something when you made your records. But I really, there's a credibility issue there for me when I see punk bands or bands with a lot of that fuel or fire now in their 40s still singing those songs.
Yeah, it you know, and I mean, I guess with the climate of the world right now, a lot of that stuff, a lot of those songs kind of ring true or kind of have another relevance that you know may have been lost for a while. But yes, you see the singer up there, you know, with his face full of what the hell is that crap called that they inject, whatever it is, you know, they look plastic and they're singing this angry song and I'm like, yeah, how much money did you spend on your face and you're angry about the world? It doesn't ring true. Liposuction, is that the word I want? I don't know.
Botox.
There you go. You know, so it is interesting. It's, you know, I guess I respect bands for maybe hopefully capturing it again. And then you read the interviews and they're like, oh, this is, you know, we're some of our best work. And, you know, everybody was gelling. And I'm like, really? That was some of your best work? You know, just give us the honest reason. You either have a contractual obligation or, you know, you got to pay child support for some kid from Los Angeles that you didn't think that was going to come about. I don't know.
Right. Past their prime, my friend.
Yeah.
Shelf life.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And, you know, there's some that I think that they're still making great music. You know, I think some bands hit that valley, and then they rebound. I think there's some that hit that valley and see how further down the valley they can go, or further down the spiral, if you will. But yeah, I mean, I it's hard though. As much as I enjoy the Rolling Stones, it's like every album they have, there's maybe one or two tracks that are good. Are great, and the rest are, you know, kind of throwaway things.
No, I feel like a band, you know, God love them for having some, you know, lasting power, but putting out something relevant is much more difficult than it would appear, and I give bands credit that can actually do that. It always cracks me up when, you know, I'm a sucker. I'll read those articles about bands and the recording process and how they made their new album. And it always cracks me up. I'm always laughing when, we decided to just get away and rent out this little studio in the middle of nowhere and just lay down some basic tracks. I'm like, you mean how everybody does and how everybody started?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Magical.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, maybe we're just so locked in, you know, maybe we're just so locked in on clinging to that era that, you know, that pre Joshua Tree and prior albums era that we can't physically, or mentally accept something. And that could be the case too, you know? I mean, it's not like all of a sudden a guitar player goes from being a really good guitar player to crappy, you know. I guess sometimes you see the drop off in the lyrics. That would be the easiest telling point. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, and you know, maybe it's just we grow up and we move on and they stay in the same place, or you know, we want them to stay in the same place and they move on. I don't know. Those are tough things that, you know, we as podcasters will never get the chance to put out a bad album or a great album, or, you know, on our eighth album, all of a sudden people start questioning if we're past our prime.
Right. I liked episodes 17 through 24.
Yeah. They were hitting their stride there, and then they took a dump, you know. Their sound quality got better, but they sucked.
But I love how they've come back. They decide to hole up in a studio and just lay down a basic conversation and record it.
Hey, it was interesting. One of them was in Memphis and the other was in Phoenix. They recorded it. It was so magical.
Well, something that we could look forward to, man. We've got the model laid out before us.
Definitely,
so.
Definitely. Thank you to all who've tried and given us the model.
Yeah. Well, in the interest of time, I definitely want to get to our punch list, because I'd like to hopefully revisit. As Jesse mentioned, he came back to Omaha to visit family and friends, and we had the chance to go out and, you know, sample some of the fine local libations in the area, and that included a stop at Viz Major Brew House on 36th and Center here in Omaha, and that's how we started some things out. And man, I'd love to start the punch list with some of those fine drinks. They had some good beers on tap.
Yeah, you know, I haven't changed my punch list from when we were originally going to do this, just because I'm not going to lie, I've looked on their website like three or four times a week since then. And that was some really, really good beer. And I drank a lot of Nebraska beer when I was back, but that one is the one, kind of like the time before when I was blown away, with Infusion. This one, Viz Major, you know, we had just a great experience. And those who don't know Pat and I well, we somehow, when we're together, not always get the best experience. But it was unbelievable. Our bartender, his sense of humor played right into our hands. And then we were fortunate enough that the owner came out and talked to us, told us about the brewery and lots of other things. It was great. I can't thank Lindsay enough for spending time talking to us when, you know, we're just, you know, three people sitting at a bar at 12 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon drinking way too much. What was the name of that? What was the name of that one?
The apricot was, I believe, it was called Evening Shade, if I'm not mistaken. I'll have to double check my.
Eden Shade. Yeah, that one, and the Southern Song, that Peach Lavender.
Oh yes,
that was good. I on my notes here, I wrote down peach and apricot. I didn't write any names. That was good thinking, Jesse. Good job there.
Well, regardless, if you walked in and said, "This is what I want," they would know exactly what you're referring to.
Right.
I'll tell you, they make some really good beer, and they also have just a really cool environment too. I need to commend them for their aesthetic of the brewery and the tasting room, because it's not like you're walking into a normal bar with a lot of neon and posters and crap all over. It's really clean, and they've done a good job of repurposing different materials from the building when they redid the building, as well as materials from other older structures. They've repurposed them very well. It's a really great environment, and I'm envious because they just started, one of the local places around town just started adding donuts to the mix and have some really cool pairings. I'm like, gotta go back.
Well, you know, I mean, let's talk about the repurposing, because I can't tell you the last time that I was in a church, but I was there because we had a confessional. Our bar was made of the kneelers, so we were in church. And, you know, I mean, every time we got a new beer, they had to go to the confessional and get some more. So, you know, I mean, it works for me. They also sorry, go ahead.
I was going to tell you, you were right, by the way. It is Southern Song, the Peach Lavender Wheat, and Eden Shade, the Apricot Ale. So we were right on those names. Nice job.
Oh, well, good, good, good. You know, also, that their logo, and now I'm kicking myself for not buying a shirt, but that logo is awesome. I just love the look at that. So crisp, so nice, so simple. I loved that.
And their crowlers, really cool.
Yeah. Mine held up on the flight too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
They, instead of the traditional kind of route that many breweries have taken with glass containers for crowlers, they actually use a full can and seal it right there. It's very nice looking, a really cool crowler. So if in Omaha, we highly recommend Viz Major Brewing Company. Really, yes. Great stuff.
Definitely, definitely.
All right, well, let's shift on to, you've been watching anything?
I wrote down The Deuce on HBO, and I'm going to stick with that even though I started a few new shows. I'm really, the first couple episodes kind of are paving the way, giving you some background, and I find it really interesting. It's set in the 70s, but the acting in it is fantastic. I believe David Simon is the writer on it. So again, the writing is pretty true to the time, to the era. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens on that one. How about you?
I have jumped into Fargo season 2 on Hulu, and I had kind of held off for a while, got other things, started watching other things, and man, I'm so glad I dove back into this because I loved season 1 and I absolutely love season 2. I'm almost finished, actually. I just think they do a great job with that series and it's kept me going. I love Fargo.
Good. I have to go back. I've only watched the first season. What books or periodicals since you've been traveling?
Actually, my sister got me going. She loves to read a lot of biographies and autobiographies as well. And she sent me The Glass Castle, and she's been on me to read this for quite a while. And I kind of pushed it off and said, oh, yeah, I'll get it. So she finally said, well, screw this. I'm going to send you. So it's The Glass Castle by Jeanette Walls. And it's a really good book. I'm just getting into it, actually, so I can't really comment because I've just started it. But it, so far, so good. And it's obviously received a lot of praise over time, and I'm just late to the party. But thanks to her, I'm finally getting into it.
Yeah, that was one of Beth's favorites. They just made that into a movie too.
Yes.
Yeah, I on my flight, I read "Who Thought This Was a Good." Excuse me, "Who Thought This Was a Good Idea" by Alyssa Master Monaco. Kind of a fun, but yet helpful book. She ended up being basically Barack Obama's right-hand woman. She did all the scheduling for him, even when he was a senator, all the way up to her handling the Superstorm Sandy crisis and constant contact. It was really interesting because up until then she had really no political background. and how she maneuvered and handled things. It's a lot of funny. Definitely, if you're a female and you're a young female interested in politics, I would highly recommend it. There are a lot of, you know, things in there that women are going to relate to a lot more. But it was just there are things in there that were great. Wasn't the, you know, the writing in it was pretty easy to read and know what was going on. But it was an interesting look at things and from a totally different perspective, because I think that we all feel like people that are in these positions have been doing this for so long or come from somebody else's campaign, or come from some other, cabinet that it was interesting seeing someone not really being of that cloth, in that position. So I enjoyed that.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
What's in the headphones?
Well, right now, this week especially, I had to shift gears, and I'm cycling through the Pixies catalog so I can prepare for Sunday night. So it's been a fun blast through the past, and man, you can cycle through a couple albums because they're pretty quick too.
Right.
So been going through, just doing my homework, due diligence, Jess.
Yeah, it's always good. You know, since we were planning on doing this, I've listened to a lot of different things, but I'm going to go back to something that I was listening to. I listened to several times on the flight up to Omaha. It was the Lush Blindside EP. You know, again, going back to our shelf life, but they had been away and came back and cranked out this EP, and then they broke up. But it pretty much was where they left off as a band, kind of in that slow dive vein. It's like nothing, you know, nothing different, nothing that's make you like scream and like, what the hell's going on? But so yeah, I really enjoyed that one, and I'm looking forward to the next podcast because I've actually been listening to a lot of different things lately too. So
nice. I, real quick, I'll add on to my music only in the sense that, I spend a lot of time in Colorado due to my work, and I rarely listen to the radio, but I have found a station out there that I have to give a shout out. They are called the Colorado Sound 105.5 and coloradosound.org, and they are listener supported, and man, their playlist is fantastic. It's, if I had to dial up what a radio station should be like or something that would interest me and some of my friends, they definitely, for the most part, are really clued in and have a great thing going. And I'm hoping, since they're listener supported, they can continue to gain support. So definitely been enjoying that station and been following them online too, just because I've enjoyed them so much. So kind of refreshing to find a station that's listener supported and actually playing decent music. So,
well, you know, I think what you'll find now is, you know, you got the Current in Minnesota, you got KEXP, KCRW. I think some of the best stations now happen to be listener supported, because you're not having that massive influence of a label influencing what you're playing, you know? So,
yep. Good stuff. Well, we round things out by saying thank you to our listeners, and we look forward to getting some more episodes out quickly to everybody. We're excited about this one, and so thank you for joining us. And Jesse, thanks, man.
Be talking to you soon. Yep, enjoy the Pixies.
All right, enjoy, guys. Take care.